Hey, everybody, it's the Year End Cafe. I'm here with Roger. Hey, Rog.
Hi, Kelly. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm still alive. So that's a good start.
Yes. And you're not only still alive, but healthy, thank goodness. Looking forward to the Christmas holiday, I assume.
Yeah. We're just starting to kind of ramp up now. I felt like it suddenly came upon us.
Oh, yeah.
I think because our heads were so much in what's been happening this year. And the year just seemed to fly past. And suddenly it was on the run-up to Christmas. I feel as though it just kind of jumped out of the closet at me. And suddenly we're kind of we're into decorating the house and writing cards and buying Christmas presents.
Oh, you don't have Thanksgiving. So here, that's the big run-up, the marker, like the day after Thanksgiving in America, Christmas starts.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys do that because it's like two big things in the same month.
So, well,
and of course, you have Hanukkah as well, which is around this time. So that's like three huge things.
Yeah, it's a lot of, I'm always tired, Raj. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I sent Roger a picture of my house fully decorated. Texted it to you, and Roger was like, "Oh my god, your house is really
so organized."
Yeah, but I'm really not. It's just that pressure.
Really impressed.
Right,
really
after impressed. Thanksgiving. So you know, obviously, this has been a kooky year, and so It's not going to be our usual like year end stuff. I'm going to just, the best music you've listened to this year could have been recorded in 1968, but you had time to like deep dive into Motown or whatever. So please don't feel any pressure to give an answer for something that came out this year. But as long as I brought up music, so what's some of the music you've been listening to in 2020?
Well, I don't often choose our own music usually in these things, but luckily we've been able to continue to work on the record. We did a lot of the spade work before the first lockdown. So, luckily we've got a lot of the record in place and we've just been mixing and updating. Remotely, we've done it from different countries across the world, and I've got to say it sounds really incredible. We've been really fortunate to have something to work on because it's been a really tough year for musicians.
Really tough.
If you're a musician, you can't do a gig. It's a big love part of your life is taken away. So it's been great to have that to work on. Other artists, I chose one from the US and one from the UK. I'm a little bit late to the table with Molly Cyrus, I'm a bit late with that. Really? But everything I've heard off this new record, I've really liked.
Okay.
I love Nothing Breaks Like a Heart. But the new record, I really like it. It's like a totally different sound. She's almost taking a sound from the 80s a little bit. I think there's a lot of sequencer and more electronic sounds, and of course her voice is amazing. What a voice she has, and I think it's a really interesting mix of the kind of music she's made on this record with the sound of her very kind of traditional voice. That's really, every time it's come on the radio or whatever, it's really kind of pricked my ears up. So I think I've finally got onto the Molly Cyrus bandwagon.
Yeah, and she worked with your buddy Mark Ronson. So maybe that's why. You're feeling her. When she put out Wrecking Ball a couple years ago, I was like, ooh, that's
yeah, it wasn't my thing.
Sing. That's when I realized she had a voice.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. There's something almost Dolly Parton-ish about the way she's a little
totally,
and she belts it out, And
exactly, yeah. Oh, but cool. It's a nice mix, I think, on this record. So I'm now a fan.
Oh.
From the UK, I really like Working Men's Club.
Okay,
if you've heard of them, from Yorkshire.
Yeah,
and again, they kind of remind me of the early 80s a little bit. You know, that's really, they've really caught my ear. Reminds me of early Simple Minds a little bit, but there's a little bit of house music mixed in there. And they present really well. The singer can really move well. And I think they're my tip for the next big thing, I think, Working Men's Club. So if you come across them or see anything about them, have a listen.
Take a listen. Okay, I like those two suggestions. Now, were you able to see a movie that, I mean, obviously, or more than likely, not in the cinema, but because there's so many options to watch movies on TV, did you set some time aside to revisit?
Well, you know, for me, my favorite movie this year, and I think it falls into this year, was 1917. Which is a British movie about the First World War, directed by Sam Mendes.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite of the year. I love a good war movie, and I love it if it's done really well, and it's then that was filmed so beautifully. That would get my movie pick of the year.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if this is generational, not saying that you're older than me or anything, but you and John really loved that movie, and I was
wasn't his favorite of the year, was it, as well?
No, it wasn't, but I remember him telling me, you know, maybe last February or something, to watch it, and I was very lukewarm on it because you probably grew up with more war movies than me, and I was like, oh, this is boring, you know.
Okay.
When I told John it was boring, he's like, don't talk to me.
I think it's also a male-female thing.
Maybe it is. I mean,
Gisela would not watch a war movie if it was the last movie that was ever shot.
Right.
But I do. I love that stuff. And we were brought up, you know, we heard a lot from our parents. And
our
grandparents about the war years. And as I'm sure you did in America too. But we brought up with that, so it's really interesting for us to really see the detail of what happened back then.
No, it was a beautifully shot movie. I just, like, after a while, I was like, how much can that guy go through? Like, enough of it. Obviously, it's a movie.
It's a bit like Dunkirk, wasn't it? That was kind of a similar kind of vibe, I loved as well.
I like Dunkirk better, actually, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe because there were more stories going on, more people to follow. So now, do you and Gisela binge any TV series on Netflix? Is there?
No, we're not TV series watchers at all.
At all. So
no. Gisela never watches the TV.
Right. Ever. Okay.
She's always too busy doing something. She's a doer.
Yeah.
Constantly, from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed, she doesn't watch. She's working, so she doesn't watch TV. And I'm not really I did a little bit of The Early Crown. I've not really looked at this one. I've heard that it's very inaccurate. I've read quite a few things that, you know, it's more fiction than reality. And if I want to watch something like that, I want to watch the real story. I don't want something that's kind of half made up. So I've not started watching that yet. You know, I've been a real news hound this year. I've watched so much news. I was very proud. A year ago, I used to say to people, I don't watch the news. I never, to be negative, that was one of my things. I never really take much notice of the news.
Right.
But once this whole thing happened, I've been glued to it, as though their word is the, you know,
right.
It's like God. I've been, you know, hoping for some kind of breakthrough.
Watched
a lot of news. It's been like a long-running soap opera. I mean, there's so much happened this year with the election, Brexit, the coronavirus, the vaccine coming along and being developed. I mean, it's just been fascinating. It's been the best year for news ever, I think, and I've got to hand it to the news people out there.
Yeah,
they've done an amazing job, you know, to keep feeding us with this these stories that have been coming nonstop. It must have been a hard job for them.
Yeah. You know, whenever there's like a snowstorm or someone notable dies, Brian and I call it disaster TV. Like, we love disaster TV because the news is on like all day about one topic. And we were saying that this whole year has been disaster TV. You can't get away. There's just like one thing after another of disaster TV.
And we kind of got hooked into it slowly, didn't we? It was like, you know, it was happening in China. So, yeah, I started watching a little bit of news about China. Oh, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. But I imagined it was going to be like SARS or something. And it was going to be something that was very far away. And then it got to Europe and then Italy. Italy was the next big kind of horror story. And I'm watching that. And, oh, my God, that's terrible. And that's quite close. And then suddenly it got to the UK and then to America. And it was just like this thing that, you know, like a volcano that just kind of erupted and slowly took over the world. And I've got to say, it was quite horrifying, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I remember you and I talking because we have kids similar ages. And we were like, I wonder if they'll be able to go to school. And then the next thing we knew,
they weren't at school.
Yeah. So, yeah, wow.
It was like living in contagion. Wasn't it? It was like the movie Contagion. It was like, how bad is this going to get?
Yeah.
How bad is it going to get? Are we going to be growing vegetables in the in our garden by the end of it?
Yeah. It was, you know, that's interesting. That's you binged on the news.
Yeah, that was my big, and still is actually, that's my big binge of the news. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, no, me.
I can't get enough of it, but I've got to try and wean myself off it at some point.
Yeah, we keep it on all day.
I see it everywhere, though. I walk past somebody's house and everyone's got the news on 24/7. What a bumper year for news.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're right. They certainly earned their keep, these news
people. Yeah, definitely.
Now, did you get a chance to read any books in 2020?
Well, I didn't get to read my usual biography this year. Which is unusual. I didn't really pick up biography because we've not been able to travel.
Right.
I've read a few travel books. I read a really good book called A Theatre for Dreamers by Polly Sampson, which
what was
is that? It's set in the 60s, and it's about a woman traveling to a beautiful Greek island, and kind of took me back to my youth, the first ever holiday or vacation I went on was to Greece, a Greek island. And I went with John, actually, and we just made it in the band, and we had our first kind of royalty check come through. We said, where are we going to go? Oh, we'll go to the Greek islands. And we took our then girlfriends with us. And Careless Memories had just been released, and that kind of flopped a little bit.
Yeah.
So, maybe this is the last holiday we're ever going to get because, you know, the last records flopped. But when we got back, and of course it was the days when you didn't have internet or mobiles or you didn't even have a blooming phone in the apartment there. And we got back and Girls on Film had been a hit record. And we did Top of the Pops in the UK in the first week that we got back. And if you look very closely, we're looking very suntan because we've just come off this our first holiday to the Greek islands. And this book kind of just reminded me of that young innocence of traveling abroad.
I have a book for you. Wait, I'm gonna Google it because I think you would hold up. Daisy and the Six.
Okay.
I'm going to text it to you when we hang up. It's
Daisy in the Six.
And the Six. Daisy and the Six. The Six. Yeah, they say it's loosely based on Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac. But it's about a young band in the 60s in, is it California? Now I can't remember. But I think you'd like it. Yeah. It's being, of course, already being made into a movie. And Elvis Presley's granddaughter, Riley Keough, is playing Daisy. And I actually think that's perfect casting. But I think you'd I read the book in like a day. Not a day.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm like that. Actually, once I get going on a book, yeah. I'm like, wow.
I think
I'm really quick.
What's something that happened in 2020 that you hope never to experience again?
Well, I think there's only one answer to that, isn't there? And I think everybody knows what it is. I never want to be in a pandemic again.
Yeah.
I never want to go through that. Because we're used to freedom, aren't we? We're used to freedom. And now I appreciate so much the freedom that we had that was suddenly taken away. And I never want that to happen again. I think once everything opens up again, which I think it will next year, I think there's going to be a real appreciation for our freedom. And, you know, and the things we love to do, like traveling, going to gigs, going out and having a good time, will all hopefully be back. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't want to go through that again. I think it's a once in a lifetime thing, isn't it, that you don't want to experience again?
No, never. Was it harder for you, do you think, because you have older kids, that you know, that was part of it, that you weren't able to see them as frequently? I mean, that's really...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was difficult, particularly in the first lockdown. We couldn't see anybody. I couldn't see my parents, who I do like to see on a very regular basis because they're elderly now. That was one of the toughest things, not being able to go and see them. Traveling, as I said, traveling, you know, was it such a thing that we take so much for granted.
Yeah.
Touring with a band, you know, doing gigs, even on quiet years, we generally, you know, we'll do, you know, a dozen shows or something.
Yeah.
So really, really miss that as well.
Mm-hmm. What's something you did in 2020 that you hadn't done in ages? Like you're stuck home and you're like, gosh, I haven't played chess. And I don't know, but just asking.
Well, we did play checkers, actually, when we got really desperate.
We
did play that part.
He is desperate.
And I've not played that since I was on family vacations when I was 10 years old. So, yeah, that was a bit desperate.
Right.
One of the things I did do, which I've not done for years, is have a dog. We bought a dog. We bought her just before the coronavirus came along. So we hadn't picked her up yet. We'd been and chosen her. And so she's really been the light of our lives during this pandemic. She's just been amazing. And I forgot what a beautiful animal dogs are. Oh. How amazing they are.
Right.
And I always had dogs growing up.
Yeah.
Always had dogs growing up. I had a couple of dogs when I was in my 20s, but since then, not really been there. So that's been a real nice thing to pick up again. It's been a bumper year for dogs, actually. I go to pick up Julian from school, and there's 20 dogs waiting outside.
Yeah. No, we got Dash in September of last year. So he was pre-pandemic. So many of my neighbors got dogs, but I can't, the dog is like the light of my life. It's
yes, yeah,
aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody greets me like that dog does.
I know.
Right? I come
Tell me about it.
Like I've been gone for months. I've been gone for like 10 minutes.
I know.
The dog is like,
yeah. Back. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're amazing. You don't get that from any other dog. Sorry for all the cat lovers out there, by the way.
Right.
We know there's a lot of love you out there. We really appreciate your love of cats.
Right. But, I'm all dog. I know.
Yeah, I've got to say I'm all dog as well.
Yeah, I'm all dog.
Let's hope Nick's not listening to this because he's going to be mortified.
I know. Well, you know, he has a doggy grandson now because Tijana got a dog.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the dog's been spending time in his house.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So,
I thought he was purely feline.
No, you should hear him talk about his dog. I'll leave that where it is.
I've been out of the loop on that one, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think it was a possibility, you see.
It is. What was the event of 2020 from your perspective?
The events of 2020. I'm sorry to keep talking about the coronavirus and the pandemic, but I think the arrival of the vaccine has been the big event. For me, I think once that was on the table, and I think it's just been okayed in the US, I think we've had it here for a week longer, I think. But I think the arrival of that was a real, you know, it was the light at the end of the tunnel, wasn't it? And
yeah,
that kind of made my day, actually, because there were people saying that we might never have a vaccine. That was being said at some point. So to have the vaccine was amazing. So that was it, really. I think that's the highlight of the year for me.
Yeah, it was a life-altering event, no doubt.
Yeah, life-altering moment. Yeah. Must have been how people felt at the end of the war when peace was declared. You know, you had that kind of gravity, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of joy, but also like sort of a gravitas with that announcement. Like, this is heavy, you know?
Totally.
When our kids are our age, when like Julian and Tanner are our age, they'll tell their kids that they spent a year at home, you know?
Exactly.
So crazy. So what are you looking forward to most in 2021?
Oh, wow. It's got to be playing shows again with the band. You know, we're really excited about the possibility that it actually might happen again.
Yeah.
And we had a Zoom call the other day, and everybody's really excited about it. And we've got the feeling now with the vaccine coming along that maybe by next summer we're going to be out there playing shows. And that's the most exciting news. I think we were going to find it really difficult not to be playing again in 2021. A year, okay, that you can kind of...
It's manageable,
a year off, you know, and it's been a year off for us, really. But I think if that had gone into next year, it would have been really psychologically challenging, I think. Because as an artist, as a musician, I mean, you need to be kind of, you know, you need to be playing, you need to be honing your craft. And there's no amount of practicing at home which will, you know, make up for being... you know, for playing a real show. It's a bit like a boxer that trains in a gym, but until you get in the ring, you're not really working. So it would it be difficult, you know?
And maybe to not to the disappointment of every band member, I bet you meet and greets will be different if you even do them at all now, because even with the vaccine.
Well, you know, Nick's always used the hand sanitizer with that.
Yeah,
I have to say, he's been ahead of the game with that one.
Yeah.
So I don't see why we can't do them using the right protocol. Obviously, you're not going to be hugging people or whatever for a while, but I can't see why we couldn't do that with the right protocol. Around it. You know, a bit of hand sanitizer and a bit of social distancing.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can still do that.
Sanitizer.
And of course, we're always socially distanced on stage, you know?
That's true.
We should be good.
This is true. Well, Rod, this has been a lovely year-end cafe. I think, I'm pretty sure I won't have you back in the cafe until your birthday. Rolling around again until April.
Let's hope we're out of this by then.
Oh, you will be.
I can't have another second lockdown birthday. I can't.
No, you can't. It'd be terrible. I know. I was telling Roger before we started the broadcast that I had to cancel my daughter's birthday party. But she had one last year and Tanner's got canceled last year. So I'm hoping that he won't. So let's set that as a goal. The end of March. Let freedom ring.
Yeah, but I did hit. Well, you know, I watch so much news now these days.
Yes.
That I heard that once we vaccinate the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
The elderly.
Yeah.
People in hospitals, people in care homes. And I think they said that hospital admissions and deaths were going to go down by 99%.
Oh, wow.
Was the projection. So I think as long as we can get those people vaccinated and taken care of, hopefully, you know, that we can be a little bit more relaxed about where we are.
Let's hope. Let's hope. Well, thank you so, so much for joining us in the cafe today.
It's been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Trej. Yeah. And we wish you and your family a very happy holiday and a merry Christmas and a happy new year. And I don't think anyone in your house celebrates Hanukkah, but you know what I mean. And we hope to have you back in the cafe soon with lots of good and exciting news. What do you say about that?
You echoed my sentiments exactly. I just would like to wish everyone a happy Christmas. Have a great new year. You know, we can still celebrate. We can still do Christmas, even in this environment with our, with close family and loved ones. So I hope everybody can do that and have a great Christmas and great new year. And let's just hope and pray that 21 is better than 20.
I think we can only go up.
It will be.
Yeah, I think we can only go up at this point, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I just spoke to somebody actually in my neighborhood and they said, well, it's got to be better, hasn't it? It has to be better.
It has to be better.
So let's hope so.
All right, Rog. Well, thank you so much for everything and have a lovely year with your lovely family and we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Take care, everybody, and stay safe.